Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
You're listening to the Fact Hunter Radio Network.
Everything you've ever been told is a lie. Everything you've been taught about life is a lie.
Open your eyes.
Live our whole lives without any real adventure to call our own. What is any life if not the pursuit of a dream?
Delmarva Studios proudly presents The Fact Hunter, hosted by George Hobbs. The Fact Hunter is proud to be on the tip of the spear in the ever-growing truth movement. The Fact Hunter questions everything, refuses to be indoctrinated, and is strictly a no-sheep zone. Check out our website at thefacthunter.com. Download our iOS and Android apps that are streaming 24/7 content. And you can email The Fact Hunter at thefacthunter@mail.com. Without any further ado, here is The Fact Hunter himself, George Hobbs.
Just the facts, ma'am.
And welcome back, everybody. How are you doing? It's Tuesday. Again, it's November 22nd, 2022, and obviously it is the 59th anniversary of the public execution of, the President of the United States. One of the, when you talk about conspiracies, when you list them, obviously people will talk about the moon landing, 9/11, and JFK. I mean, I guess they are the big three, right? And today, the White House didn't really talk much about that. They talked about COVID. They talked about you better get your vaccine. Pfizer stock had a nice run today. And I'm sure Fauci, the outgoing rat, Tony Fauci, came out and made his last plea so he could get one last commission check from the powers that be in big pharmaceutical industry. And that's what we're going to start with today. This is not going to be a very long podcast. I have a few audio clips from today, and it's just a repeat of last year, the winter of death, the people who don't get vaccinated are going to die. And the stats are out there that 100% completely contradict, you know, what these people are saying. And at some point, you know, my friends, my very close friends, even those who aren't really, in the truth community, let's say that, right? Just regular folks going about their daily lives, even they are at their wits' end. And it started with, once again, and tomorrow's the day before Thanksgiving, so they might even drop something else because people aren't paying attention to the news. Tomorrow they're going to go to work. A lot of people are either off or taking a half a day. Tomorrow is the most traveled day here in the United States for all the international listeners. You may not know that, but it is indeed the most traveled day in the United States, and that's tomorrow. So if, you know, we went today, we swung by, we had an eye appointment. The old Fact Hunter's eyes aren't doing so great in his old age. But afterwards, we stopped at our little grocery store and it was just absolutely mobbed. And not really a terrible issue with supplies. The prices are still outrageous, but the shelves seem fairly stocked. And we've heard for months and months, you know, these coming shortages, and they're not just there. It's just this constant fear porn. So, yeah, it started the news cycle with, once again, the United States is sending another $4.5 billion to Ukraine. And people are fed up to the point where, you know, you see comments all over social media is, why are we even paying taxes? It just seems to me like this government, not the people of the United States, right? Most of the people here in this country are inherently good. But this government has been hijacked. Many people believe it was hijacked November 22nd, 1963. And you could argue, you know, the case. But if certainly, if it was not fully hijacked by that point, you can argue that November 2020 was completely hijacked. And just the insanity we've seen over the last couple of years with telling mom and pop stores that they're not essential to the mandatory masks, and people like my wife losing their jobs because they've refused to bow at the altar of big pharmaceutical. This is just not, and the worst part, which is rearing its ugly head in the news again, all of these hospitals in America that are performing these gender altering, these mutilation surgeries to minors, which is something, even if you go to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm not even sure this type of thing went on. So have we really eclipsed, you know, what you read about with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, it's embarrassing when you look into what's going on in our country today. And it's infuriating, especially when you're paying, there's a lot of people paying a third of their money to this government that is taking care of everyone else but the Americans. So that's how the day started, about 10:30 this morning. That broke across the news. And then somebody posted a really cool meme. It was a picture of Zelensky, and it said, I made $80 million working from home. Ask me how I can help you. You know, just it was pretty funny. It was one of those, I guess you had to see it moments. But then I have a couple audio clips, just some, you know, we dealt with this stuff last year, and here we are almost 3 years later. They're still playing the game. This is a couple clips from Fauci as he exited the federal government after 400 years. All right, here's clip one.
Vaccinated and unboosted versus vaccinated plus boosted. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get boosted, but the real danger isn't the people who have not been vaccinated. So that's where we expect, if we're going to see a problem this winter, it's going to be vaccinated.
So it's going to be the unvaccinated is the problem. If we're going to see a problem this winter, it's going to be among those people. The real danger is in the people who have not been vaccinated. And when you look at the stats, it is 100% without a doubt the other way, without a doubt. The next clip is Dr. Fauci saying that, listen to this, and I think they pulled this stunt last holiday season. Fauci's talking about, could you imagine, maybe there's a family out there that listens to this podcast that maybe has to deal with this with their extended family, and if that's the case, God bless you. But Fauci is saying that you should get a COVID test before you have Thanksgiving dinner with your family. Could you imagine? Clip two.
Is immune compromised. First of all, everybody should be vaccinated and boosted with flu and with COVID. Whether or not you wear a mask, or another thing we shouldn't underestimate is testing. So when we're gathering at a family gathering for Thanksgiving or for Christmas or for any other holiday as we get into the winter, it makes sense that you might want to get a test that day before you come into a place in which you might be infected and spread it, or other people who might be there, in order to protect. So there's, masking is important, but you can count masking, vaccine, boosting, testing. All of that is part of the spectrum of protecting yourself and your immune.
Absolute clown world. Could you imagine? And we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, people sending wedding invitations out saying that if you want to attend my wedding, you need to show up with a negative COVID test. Just the craziness. And then this guy, I guess he's part of the HHS, talking about God gave you two arms so you could get the COVID shot and the flu shot.
But it's going to take all of us to make that happen. So please, don't wait. Get your COVID shot. Get your flu shot. That's why God gave you two arms. You can one in each arm if you want. Go to vaccines.gov, and let's do everything we all can to protect the American people.
Vaccines.gov. And again, guys, this is why I get infuriated about the Department of Education and these type of things. The federal government has zero, absolute, 100% no business to be involved in healthcare. Zero. If they want to form a small committee to divvy up excess funds to give to the states so they can govern their own statewide healthcare, no problem with that whatsoever. This is why in 1776 we went to war against England. And, you know, I was talking with a friend today. When you look back and really look at the true history of why we went to war against England, that was about 20% of what we're dealing with today. It was just a small amount of things that they were dealing with, which we are today. The level of tyranny we are dealing with today is at least fivefold of what our forefathers were dealing with in the 18th century. It's outrageous. And people are reaching their boiling point. The last clip, you have a reporter trying to do his job. There's a lot of clown reporters out there who kiss up to the mainstream media and will just ask the questions they're told to ask. They won't really do any digging, any real journalism. So once again, you have another person pressing Fauci on the origins of COVID, and he walks away and his little press secretary pretends to have a fit. And clip four.
Dr. Fauci, only 13% of...
Hold on one second.
We have a process here. I'm not calling out on people who yell. And you're being disrespectful to your colleagues, and you're being disrespectful to our guests. I will not call on you if you yell. And
by the way, these people have sat up there for almost an hour, basically blaming death on the people who chose not to take vaccines. And they're talking about being disrespectful. This is clown world.
So you're taking time off the clock because Dr. Fauci has to leave in a couple of minutes. I'm done. I'm not getting into a back and forth with you. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Dr. Fauci,
it goes on and on and on. The point is that the guy didn't even get a chance to answer his question. They walk away. These people are absolute cowards, and it's extremely frustrating, which leads us to our last clip. And I want folks to know that I am going to put the link to this video called Died Suddenly, which premiered, I think, last night on Rumble. I'm not going to do an audio capture and send it to you guys. I'm just sending you. If you want to watch the movie, I think it's an hour, 10 minutes. I will send you the link. So you go to the show description when you're done. Click on the link. It'll take you right to this movie called Died Suddenly. It's another Stu Peters production. Some people will like it. Some people won't like it. But it's insane. It really is. And of course, on Twitter, they had to put a huge, and again, this is, you know, the actor Elon Musk, who again was, they knew about this character back in the 50s when, Wernher von Braun wrote his book, right? His antagonist was, or protagonist, excuse me, was a guy named Elon who was going to go on a rocket to Mars. But there on this tweet advertising this video, which, by the way, as of right now, this very second, has well over, it's just about 3.3 million views in 24 hours. Of course, Twitter and Mr. Free Speech himself, Elon Musk, puts a huge, I've never seen a claim this big on a tweet before. The claims in this video are completely unsubstantiated. There is no evidence linking COVID vaccination to sudden death or other negative health outcomes. The film also uses footage of people collapsing in public who have known to simply fainted for mundane reasons. And then there's some Forbes and other things. Just absolute communism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it. It's embarrassing. People can't. Yeah, to me, when somebody, quote unquote, fact checks something, that's them telling me that I am not bright enough to discern what is truth and not truth. And then the people who support these fact checkers are very low IQ individuals who can't think for themselves. So this is a 2-minute preview of the Died Suddenly film, which premiered last night, which again, I will put the link in the show description. And final clip.
My name is Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, and I've been invited here today to testify to the truth before the legislators of Idaho. The information I'm presenting is made as a protected communication under Title 10 USC 1034 as a whistleblower. My opinions are my own and do not reflect that of the United States Army, the DOD, or any entity thereof.
Insurance companies figured that if there was something catastrophic that happened to the United States, they would see a 10% increase in all-cause morbidity and mortality. 10%. For just like an unprecedented, catastrophic, you know, natural event or something that happened in the United States.
U.S. life insurance companies have reported an overwhelming and unexplainable increase in all-cause deaths among 18 to 49-year-olds.
40% is no one's even calculated that. I mean, that's never been factored into what things would look like. It's apocalyptic.
In my 15 years as a doctor taking care of soldiers, I have never seen this litany of debilitating and potentially deadly medical conditions in soldiers. These conditions included strokes, transient ischemic attacks, pericarditis, myocarditis, erratic heart rates, arrhythmias, rapid onset and progression of various cancers to include testicular cancer, esophageal cancer, brain tumors, neuroendocrine tumors, spinal tumors, thyroid dysfunction, multiple sclerosis, cognitive impairment, persistent severe insomnia, suppression of the immune system, unprovoked blood clots in the splenic and portal vein, avascular necrosis, liver dysfunction, menstrual irregularities, and miscarriages.
And there you go. And that's just a brief 2-minute clip. And again, with this, again, this is the biggest tag that I've ever seen put on a tweet. Readers added context. They thought people might want to know. So basically, here's Elon Musk telling us that a lieutenant colonel in the medical field in the United States Army doesn't know what she's talking about, but Elon Musk does, a character who pretends shoots things into space and tweets, whatever. That's where we're at. That is where we are at in the 11th month of 2022. Anyway, that's enough ranting. It's time to get to our next portion, and that's the Lincoln Kennedy coincidences and the urban legends that go with it. And then we'll talk a little bit about three reasons why JFK might have been murdered. Nikkei, of course, there's literally dozens and dozens of possible reasons out there. And I'm just not going to, you know, do a 3-hour show. We've done so many shows. You can go to the search box on, if you listen on Spreaker, iTunes, on the Fact Hunter, and in whatever little search box, just put JFK. I've done at least, 10, 12 episodes on JFK. But it's important we touch on it today. It's part of the reason why we do this, learn from our history so we don't repeat it in the future. And you see the way we're going, we're not doing a good job of defending our Constitution. Okay, let's move right along, guys. So there's about 16 weird coincidences. Some of them are a bit of a stretch. Some are not so much of a stretch between the assassinations of Abraham Lincoln and John F. Kennedy. Now, Kennedy, of course, was because of decisions he made against the powers that be. Lincoln, they were done with him, and they wanted to go in a different direction. And towards the end there, he was going his own way, and you can't do that with the powers that be. And I ascertain to this day, in my heart, the reason why Kennedy was killed the way he was killed was so that every future leader, I'm going to mention this morning on the one I posted, every future leader would know that if they get out of line with the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the military industrial complex, I'm sure there's a couple names out there that we aren't even aware of. And again, there's rumors that Trump was taken back when he met with Obama and shown the film, because you can find videos all over YouTube and BitChute and Rumble of him coming out from the meeting, and it looks like he saw a ghost. Who knows? But it, to me, was intentionally done in front of a worldwide audience to send a message. Maybe just not nationally, possibly internationally. How many times have we seen international leaders? Look at Gaddafi, just a perfect example. He went against the Rothschilds, and he was dragged through the streets. He was murdered for the world to see. So let's talk about the list of coincidences. Some are just minute, not really worth mentioning, but we will. And some are interesting, okay? So Lincoln and Kennedy each have 7 letters. Great, there you go. Next one. Both presidents were elected to Congress in 1846. Obviously, Lincoln in 1846, JFK 1946, and both advanced to the presidency in 60, Lincoln in 1860, JFK in 1960. Both assassins, John Wilkes Booth, 3 names, right? How many people do you know by 3 names? And Lee Harvey Oswald. So here's the coincidences with those. And again, does this mean they were characters? Are these numbers and symbols for the elite to tell us we set this up? So between John Wilkes Booth and Lee Harvey Oswald, both of them were born in 1839 and 1939. Both were known by their 3 names, not 2. You never hear anybody say John Booth or Lee Oswald. And lastly, they both composed of 15 letters. Interesting, right? Now, John Wilkes Booth ran from a theater and was caught in a warehouse. Oswald ran from a warehouse and was caught in a theater. Both assassins were Southerners. Now, this is interesting, but it's a common name, so I don't know how coincidental it is. But both of the president's successors were named Johnson and were born in 1808 and 1908. And, you look at the responsibilities and the decisions that both Johnsons made and the impact they had on this country with Reconstruction, which, the first Johnson would pass the baton on, but specifically LBJ with the decisions he made, specifically, sending 58,000 men and women to die in Vietnam. Next bullet, both Lincoln and Kennedy were particularly concerned with civil rights and made their views strongly known. This one's a little interesting as well. I guess you have a 15-16% chance of these happening. Both presidents were shot in the head on a Friday. We all know the significance of the date of JFK 1122 equal 33, and then the 1969 equals 19, and the 19-year calendar that we speak about. So the next one, Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy who told him not to go to Ford's Theater. And in turn, Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln. Her name was Evelyn Lincoln, and she warned him not to go to Dallas. And of course, the last big one is that both Oswald and Booth were assassinated before they could be put on trial. Really, really interesting urban legends to kind of pique your mind. Now, I'm going to zoom this in a little bit. We'll cover this and we'll call it a day. Not a long one. But this was written by Len Hart. He's known as the Existentialist Cowboy. It was written about 14 years ago. And it's very interesting. It's entitled Puppet Masters and Three Reasons That JFK Was Murdered. And like Rome, our country is forever scarred by murder, whether it be wars or these assassinations, right? And in our lifetimes, the best and the brightest are literally snuffed out before our very eyes by the cowardly, by the people who refuse to put themselves out there, the hidden hand, the people who are too afraid to pull the trigger. They use their money, their wealth, their power to have other people do their dirty work. These people are evil and they are rotten. And those who benefited the most from JFK's murder are certainly guilty of it. 9 times out of 10. Okay, anytime these events happen, the first thing you have to ask yourself is who benefits? And with Kennedy, LBJ, the military-industrial complex are two of the big ones. And obviously the financial industry could have taken a hit. We'll get into that later. But JFK tried and was the last one, and I'm willing to bet will be the last one. I don't know of anybody brave enough. I think the one person in Congress that I trust, you know, people will say the MTG or MGT, whatever her name is, and Thomas Massie is literally the only guy that I trust. And he follows me on Twitter. 400 and some followers, and he's one of them. But, you know, JFK tried to strip the power of the Fed. He wanted to abolish the oil depletion allowance, which, you know, enter the Bush family, right? And his biggest one, which, you know, is a no doubt about it, nail in the coffin type of thing, is he wanted to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces. And it's probably pretty safe to say, out of the 46 presidents we've had, that no president since him has dared or come close to piss off so many powerful and ruthless people. Now, I know a lot of you are going to say Trump. I think he played the role of a bad guy, but he was simply following a script. I think he still to this day, I think either yesterday or today, he made another comment praising his vaccine. Just out of touch. So with these three, let's talk about the Fed. He tried to strip the Federal Reserve of its power to loan money to the government at interest. And usury is biblical, right? Even the Bible says not to charge interest. But the move would have been would have bypassed the Federal Reserve, by restoring to the government the power and authority to issue currency. You can look it up. It's Executive Order 11110. Gave the U.S. government the ability to create its own money. Not only that, it would be backed by silver. So it wouldn't be this garbage fiat currency. And again, people fail to understand just exactly how detrimental fiat currency is. Because of fiat currency and the Lusitania incident and that whole 1920s, you know, that decade between 1910 and 1920, which I can't believe over 2 years and I haven't covered the Lusitania yet. How dare you, fact hunter? We need to cover that. But we wouldn't have these world wars and we wouldn't have Operation Warp Speed. People wouldn't be signing checks for $1 trillion. It just might have put the Fed out of business. Now, some background and basic economics. To pay its bills, the U.S. government borrows money from the Federal Reserve, primarily the Bank of New York. Now, the Federal Reserve notes are not backed by anything, fiat currency. Now, silver certificates issued under the authority of JFK's order would have been backed by government-owned silver. And if enough had come into circulation, the government would no longer borrow from the Fed to pay its obligations. It would have done so with silver certificates issued by the government itself. And like any commodity, The Federal Reserve notes are subject to the laws of supply and demand. So the demand for Federal Reserve notes may have collapsed altogether. And the Fed itself might have forced itself right out of business. But again, you just go back to, oh, wait, we'll bail out the banks, but they won't bail out mom and pop stores, right? Now, again, Executive Order 11110 could have prevented the national debt from reaching its current level, which I think is $32 trillion. And it would have made it could have made it possible for the government to repay its debt without having to borrow these worthless notes from the Federal Reserve. And on top of that, remember, the Federal Reserve charges us to just print the money. Then they loan us the money with interest. And on top of that, the Federal Reserve has not been audited since, I think, 72, and it was a partial. Executive Order 11110 was never repealed. One wonders why no other president has bothered to utilize it. Could it have anything to do with the fact that JFK's order made him a very, very unpopular individual throughout the banking establishment? In fact, JFK was brutally murdered in Dallas just 5 months after issuing the order. No more silver certificates were issued, and the Federal Reserve's gravy train remained intact. Now, the scheme preferred by the Federal Reserve allows them to literally create money, which they loan to the government at interest. The private Federal Reserve owners don't have $1 trillion to lend the government. But they don't need it. All they do is create it with a simple bookkeeping entry and write a check to the government as the loan in exchange for U.S. bonds. The U.S. government banks at the Federal Reserve, so cashing this check is very easy. And think about this, okay? Your local bank, whether it's USAA or a credit union, maybe. Just maybe you can get a long-term CD at 2%, right? In return, if you want a car loan, 5, 6, 7%, double the interest they give you. Credit cards, you know, I'm sure you know people, 10, 20% interest rates. But we are the one that provide them the funds to loan out and make extraordinary money off of. But if you bounce a check, they want to charge you $40 or whatever it is. Geez, I haven't written a check in forever. Or an overdraft fee, or a late fee, but it's with banks. It's a one way street, and these are one of those things that in the realms of the things we need to fix in this country, this is number one, without a doubt. Again, without the Federal Reserve, would things get difficult? I think we would have a rough couple of years, right? Because things would have to. We've spiraled out of control so much, it would come to a sudden stop and. But it's either us or our children or our grandchildren, right? That's just the way I look at it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you disagree. But this whole Federal Reserve is a scheme. It's a scam. There's no hard currency exchange. There's no gold, no silver, just printed money, monopoly money. And again, government agents are never seen walking out of the Federal Reserve offices. Meanwhile, the IRS is all up in your grilled cheese. They just hired 87,000 people to come after us, not the Federal Reserve, and audit them. That's a problem. The Federal Reserve simply makes an entry in the books, and the government makes an entry in its books. And we are the ones who carry the burden of paying our money to keep the ship afloat. Remember, Thomas Jefferson said, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations will grow up around them and deprive the people of all the property until their children wake up homeless. The continent their fathers conquered. Think about that. If we let the private banks control the issue of currency, their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Secondly, JFK threatened to repeal the oil depletion allowance. And it's always been about the price of oil at the wellhead and the profits that accrue for big oil. Look at Ross Sterling, the former owner of Humble Oil. He was elected governor of Texas and took office on January 20, 1931. The Texas Railroad Commission, under the control of the large oil producers, attempted to limit the production of oil in the new fields of East Texas. Fast forward to July 31, 1931. The federal court in Houston sided with a group of independent oil producers and ruled that the Texas Railroad Commission had no right in imposing pro-rationing, as it's called. Now, large oil companies in Texas, such as Humble Oil, were in favor of pro-rationing, and Sterling came up under great pressure to intervene. A few weeks later, on August 16, 1931, Sterling actually declared martial law in Rusk, Upshur, Gregg, and Smith counties in Texas. In his proclamation, he declared that the independent oil producers in these counties were in a state insurrection, and that the reckless and illegal exploitation of oil must be stopped until such a time as said resources may properly conserved and developed under the protection of civil authorities. Then Sterling ordered the commander of the Texas National Guard, Jacob Walters, to, quote, without delay, shut down each and every producing crude oil well and producing well of natural gas. Now, Walters, this guy who was the chief lobbyist of several major oil companies in Texas, was happy to agree with this action. Walters used more than 1,000 troops to make sure that the oil wells in East Texas completely ceased operations. The Texas Railroad Commission was now in firm control of the world's most prolific oil fields, and it now controlled the oil supply in the United States. And as a result, steadily over time, the price of oil began to increase. So this guy Humble later became Exxon. It's not only prices, but profits, right? Big oil was literally guaranteed huge profits by another bit of accounting, ledgering. It's called the oil depletion allowance. And it is like depreciation, but more abstract. See, depreciation is often visible. You can see it on a car. You can see it on jewelry. You can see it on, if you want to sell a video game, you have a PlayStation 3, you can tell it's old. Okay? Machines wear out. The loss of utility is real. But from an accounting standpoint, the oil depletion allowance is simply a write-off. Literally a payoff for the oil you won't find later. Now, how would you like to be paid now for the money you won't make later when the business you're in now is no longer profitable? Sounds like a sweet deal, right? Everybody wants in. Now, perhaps even better than the sweet deal the Fed got. I can't think of any other industry that has managed to so effectively shake down the government. Now, you can think of a few businesses in which you are paid up front the money you won't make at some point in the future, right? Like a lot of athletes with guaranteed contracts, but nothing like this. And look, by 1962, JFK had sealed his fate. He decided to take on the Texas oil industry, and he actually persuaded Congress to remove the distinction between repatriated profits and profits reinvested abroad. Okay, now the law applied to all industries, but seemed to affect the oil industry particularly. Texas oil fat cats watched earnings from foreign investments fall by one half, or from 30% all the way down to 15%. And as president, LBJ abandoned plans to abolish the oil industry's sacred cow. And that cow was milked on a daily basis, right? The oil depletion allowance was not disallowed until the presidency of Jimmy Carter, who is still reviled in Texas to this day. They can't stand him. One who would never suspect that Carter is among the top presidents in terms of economic performance. And that Carter is among the fortunate. But it's his only record that has been assassinated, not him personally, right? Lastly, the big one. JFK threatened to smash the CIA into 1,000 pieces. We know that the CIA had conspired with Cuban exiles in Florida to assist with the invasion of Cuba. We know that he turned down Operation Northwoods, and these entities acted without authorizations from the government, the CIA, without a declaration of war from Congress, which alone has the power to declare war. Or so says that piece of paper we call the Constitution. Now, certainly because of Cuba, the CIA was more motivated to murder JFK than Lee Harvey Oswald. The CIA saw Kennedy as a threat to national security, and from the CIA Cuban exile perspective, he proved it when he refused to order air support during the Bay of Pigs. The axis of CIA Cuban exiles never forgave JFK's act of betrayal. Now, this is the time in history when George Bush's name reveals his ugly head. It was 1959, the year that Fidel Castro seized power in Cuba, that George Bush set up Zapata Offshore in a Houston headquarters. Now, we all know about the New Orleans connection to the Kennedy assassination, and George H.W. Bush was a frequent visitor to New Orleans, okay? Because of his family's estate on Jupiter Island, he would also have been a frequent visitor to the Hobe Sound area. And then there were Zapata Offshore drilling operations in the Florida Strait. On all of these activities, the official Red Studebaker biographical material in the Zapata Offshore annual reports are extremely cryptic. Now, according to Joseph McBride of The Nation, quote, a source with close connections to the intelligence community confirms that Bush started working for the CIA in 1960 using his oil business as a cover for clandestine activities. And I've said many times on this program, I know for a fact in my heart that George H.W. Bush was in Dallas the day Kennedy was killed, 59 years ago today. By the time of the Kennedy assassination, there's an official FBI document which refers to Mr. George Bush of the Central Intelligence Agency. And despite official disclaimers, there is every reason to think that this is indeed, of course, H.W. Bush. The mystery of George Bush as a possible covert operator hinges on 4 points, each one of which represents one of the great political and espionage scandals of post-war American history. And here are the 4 cardinal points. Number 1, the abortive Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba, launched on April 16, 1961, prepared with the assistance of the CIA's Miami Station, which was the code name JM Wave. After the failure of the amphibious landings of Brigade 2506, Miami Station, under the leadership of Theodore Shackley, became the focus for Operation Mongoose, which was a series of covert operations directed against Castro, Cuba, and other possible targets. Number 2, the assassination of JFK in Dallas on November 22, 1963, and the cover-up of those responsible for the crime. Number 3, the Watergate scandal, April 1971, visit to Miami by E. Howard Hunt on the 10th anniversary of the Bay of Pigs invasion to recruit operatives for the White House Special Investigations Unit who were the plumbers and later Watergate burglars from among Cuban-American Bay of Pig veterans. Lastly, of course, number 4, the Iran-Contra affair, which became a public scandal during the October-November 1986, several of whose central figures, such as Felix Rodriguez, were also veterans of the Bay of Pigs. And I'm here to tell you, somebody who has researched so many rabbit holes, ladies and gentlemen, they cross so many paths. You'll see the same names over and over again. George Bush's role in both Watergate and the October surprise Iran-Contra complex will be treated in detail, and we've talked about them in great lengths, okay? The names Howard Hunt, Bernard Baker, Rolando Martinez, the aforementioned Felix Rodriguez, and Eugenio Martinez would, during the next quarter century, pop up often decisively over and over again in the most dangerous American foreign policy crisis. Now, there were Cubans flying missions for the CIA in the Congo and even for the Portuguese in Africa. Cubans were the burglars of Watergate. Cubans played the key roles in Nicaragua, in Irangate, and even our move into the Persian Gulf. Felix Rodriguez tells us that he was infiltrated into Cuba with other members of the Gray Team in conjunction with the Bay of Pigs landings. And this is the same man that we find directing the Contra supply effort in Central America during the 1980s, working under direct supervision of George H.W. Bush. The FBI document that was identifying George Bush as a CIA agent in November 1963 was first published by Joseph McBride in The Nation, July 1988, just before Bush received the Republican nomination for president. McBride's source observed, quote, "I know Bush was involved in the Caribbean. I know he was involved in the suppression of things after the Kennedy assassination. There was a very definite worry that some Cuban groups were going to move against Castro and then attempt to blame it on the CIA." He mentions that he quoted Albert Speer's summation of the Third Reich, which for so long he served admirably with the best fascist architecture. And he summed it up in the following: George Bush's inaugural address, January 21st, 1989, was on the whole an eminently colorless and forgettable oration. The speech was for the part a rehash of the tired demagogy of Bush's election campaign, with the ritual references to 1,000 points of light and the hollow pledge that when it came to the drug inundation, which Bush had supposedly been fighting for most of the decade, right? And of course, while he was vice president, Nancy Reagan had the Just Say No to Drugs campaign, and our government was running drugs just... we were the kingpins of the world with drugs. The whole thing is just an absolute joke. We'll close it there. And, you know, the big question is, how will we remember the presidencies since the murder of John F. Kennedy? And he goes on to say he'll remember these years for what was not accomplished because JFK was murdered. The dreams are still unfulfilled. Hopes were dashed. And, you know, look at the wars after he was killed. A few years later, we're in Vietnam. The proxy wars of the 80s, Desert Storm, Operation Desert Fox in 98. Then, of course, 97, just prior to that, PNAC, the planning for 2001 for 9/11. And we were at war for almost 20 years, and now we're on the verge of war again. It's what we do. I guess that's what they use to keep this fiat currency going. They use it to distract us. We are so easily distracted, right? Right after the election happened, and this guy who couldn't put two sentences together beat Oz, and I'm not an Oz guy. You saw a lot of questionable elections again, is when they inserted Elon Musk into this Twitter thing. And that's what everybody's been talking about since. Everybody's forgotten about the elections, forgotten about the Lake Hobbs thing in Arizona. We're so easily distracted. And that's the truth. So there we go. Not a very long podcast today. Just a kind of look on the deceptions, the power grabs, and how those who are in power, the elites, run things and are not held accountable and live by their own rules versus the daily grind that you and I deal with, my friends. And there you go. I think that's it. Enjoy your Wednesday. If you got a long weekend, enjoy it. Looks like there's some good football games on Thursday, so enjoy those. The World Cup's been interesting so far. I caught the end of Saudi Arabia beating, who did they beat? Argentina. And it was like a college team beating a pro team. Not trying to disrespect Saudi Arabia, but a lot of people picked Argentina to win the whole thing. So interesting times we live in, right? Anyway, we'll wrap it up right there, guys. There we go. I was waiting for my musical interlude. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I'll try to get a little more classic audio out this week, and certainly we'll wrap up the Mystery Babylon season series this Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Enjoy that turkey. Take care of one another. Enjoy your time with your families. And don't worry about getting a COVID test before you visit your family, for crying out loud. Anyway, guys, I got to go. God bless each and every one of you. Keep your head on a swivel. And until next time, we will see you.
Listening to the Fact Hunter Radio Network.
You're listening.
Just the facts, ma'am.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.